Wow. Here's my heart, Lord. What more can we say than that? And you know, it's just such a wonderful thing to experience the joy and the peace and the love that floods our hearts when Christ is in control of our hearts and when we're in his presence. It's something that can't be described. It's something that's difficult to share with someone who does not understand and has not experienced letting their whole self be surrendered into his hands. And they haven't felt him take them in his hands. And that's why sometimes it is hard to communicate the gospel, isn't it? Because it is a spiritual experience that happens to us as we interact with a spiritual God who reveals himself to us. And it's more real to us than the world around us. And yet, we remember a time when we couldn't see or understand what they were talking about either. And it's just a wonderful thing to see what God does. God does miracles. He does miracles. You know, we were in a life group last week, if my memory serves me correctly. And someone in our group, you know, last week, if you remember, I talked about worship is sacrifice. And we talked about how the system was set up where when you came before the Lord, you brought a gift. And they did that on a consistent basis. And the reason that they came and they gave a gift, even though it might not be a huge gift every time they're coming, God doesn't ask everyone to give everything like the rich young ruler, but they brought that gift and they gave it because God knew they needed that discipline of continually making a choice to put him first. They reminded themselves each week to put him first. They reminded themselves that the gifts and the blessings that he had given them, they were grateful for and they were wondrous and God gave them so that we could enjoy them, but they weren't the goal. He was the goal. And if we're honest, we know that the attractions of this world are pretty strong. And it is real easy to be sucked into the comforts and the enjoyments of life, and the focus falls on that, and the next thing we know, we don't understand what happened, but where is the Lord? He's not our focus anymore. And so there's that consistent giving that was set up in the system, not for God, but for us. Well, that's a tough subject to talk about. You know why? Because materialism is extremely difficult. We all are susceptible to that really more than others, whether we see it or not, more than any other temptation. You know, Jesus tells us you can't serve God and you can't serve money. And he tells us that because all the other things we want, we can't get without money. And so it has a huge hold on our lives. And there's that reminder inside of us that we don't serve money. We don't serve what money buys. We serve God. Now, I'm not really talking about that subject this week, but I wanted to set up what came out of that life group. And so he's sitting there and he's thinking, why would anyone want to do that? And he said, he looked around and he said, oh yeah, that's why. And then he said, that's why. And he said, that's why. And he said, that's why. And that's why. He said, you know, I've been in this church 3.5 years. And I sat during that service while you were preaching that sermon. And I could not believe how many people that I looked at that I personally knew God had done a transforming miracle in their life. That's why. Because God does miracles. And that's why you need to be a part of the church. And when I say a part of the church, I'm not talking about being someone who comes to this service and doesn't know the people who are in this room. Because there's a difference when I'm talking about what people are hearing. And I'm not going to get in, even in this sermon, to talking about each one of your personal struggles and sins that God overcame in your lives and ways that God turned your life completely around from a place that was devastated. Because that's not necessarily my place to give all those testimonies and talk about. But when I look out at you, I see them. I know them. And most of you in this room know him too. And when you look around this room and you think of the things that God has done in the faces of the people you see, you don't have any trouble believing God is worth worshiping. You don't have any trouble giving thanks. You don't have any trouble saying that God is more important than anything else, and I want to serve him, because if he can do that, then what can he do if I just follow him? He can do anything. You can be on the outskirts and not really know the people in the body of God, so you don't know what miraculous things they did. And it's not the same inspiring thing. I look out at this group, and there are people who are here who have gone through things that would have devastated and destroyed their marriage, and yet they are here with a stronger marriage than they had before. That's the Spirit of God. There are people who have gone through things where they have been caught in a sin. We all get caught in sins when we're not focused on God. We may think we're good people, and we are good people, but we're not godly people. We're susceptible to temptation. We can get pulled into things that we had no idea it was going to end like that. We're not so strong that without following the Spirit of God, we can't make terrible mistakes. This room is full of people who've made terrible mistakes. I'm one of them. But when we turn to God, he can turn those things completely around. And while he does it, he changes our hearts so that we no longer desire or think the way we did when we were the person who made those choices. But we have become more Christ-like. We have seen people in difficult situations who were rebellious against God, caught in, I cannot think of a sin that I have not seen someone in this congregation freed from. Some of the ones that you think of as the worst possible sins, we've seen even a handful of people freed from. The things that people fear the most, God has broken those chains and set them free. He's renewed that heart. He has given hope. We have parents that are sitting in here who were in situations where they thought that the world had taken their children, and they were so enmeshed in the world that they would never be able to come back. We don't have one or two. We've got many people that we have seen God work and restore and redeem. We know the power of his love. We know the faces. And we have experienced what God can do. Now, that doesn't mean God supersedes free will and does what people don't want. We've also had some times of great waiting. We have some prayers that are not answered. But that's why the Bible tells us that we are to wait on the Lord. Because we will see, we believe, the goodness of God in the land of the living. That means God can answer our prayers before we die. But you know, it's real hard for him to do it if we can't wait. If we don't have the faith to keep going. If we can't operate out of hope and out of faith, knowing that God can do the impossible. It's hard for us to wait on the Lord and consistently do what God wants so he can use us. It's easy for us to get discouraged. It's easy for us to get depressed. It's easy for us to get resentful. It's easy for us to get bitter. Why? Because we're human beings. That's what the world does. And yet, the Spirit of God can calm our hearts. It can give us vision. It can give us hope. And we serve God, not our goals. And when we do that, you never know what God is going to do. Just think right now, as you look around this room, of how many people God has rescued. God has saved. God has redeemed. God has changed. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? You don't know that if you don't know them. You don't see that watching a preacher on television. You don't watch it sitting in this service and leaving without actually getting to know the people so that you can see the hand of God in their lives. We've got all kinds of things going on that if you don't know people, you don't know about. We've got people in this congregation who are reaching out to people outside this church, and they've led them to the Lord. A few of them have come in here. Some of them have not. If you don't know the people, you don't know what God is doing. And so it's important for us to be a part of the body, because God uses his miraculous works and ways and what he does in the hearts of others to build our faith. He speaks through us, not just through his word, but where we see his word made flesh. And he is still doing that. And so it is really important that we know in our hearts that with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Now, I left my rocks over here because I'm old and I can't remember things. But you know that I do prayer rocks. I wish I was better with them. I do them on the big things. Like, here's one right here. It says, Bobby Kaiser gave his heart to Christ 11/2/2017. It's something that we had prayed for. I've got another one right here. And the date on it is October 12th. But I post-did this one because I don't always write the rocks on smaller things. But sometimes smaller things are really, really significant, you know what? And so I went back and did this one because as I thought about this sermon and what I was going to do, I realized that this should be a rock. I just want to kind of tell you a little bit about the story of what happened with Bobby, but I have seen it over and over and over. It's the same story. When I sat with Bobby and we talked through those things to make sure I got everything synced and in order. And as we talked through those things, we haven't talked with Bobby. It's the same story we see over and over, just different events and different people, but it's the same pattern. Bobby had been in this church for on and off ever since I've been here. And I was a member. I've been here almost 20 years. I came here about 20 years ago. I was a member until 6 years ago. So I've seen Bobby on and off for a long, long time. And Bobby would come in and he would come out and hadn't ever given his heart fully to the Lord. Had lots of things going on in his life like all of us do. Had lots of desires, had goals, had struggles, had all kinds of problems and things like that. But it's interesting that whenever he had a problem, you know where he came? He came here. Why would he come here? Well, I think there are two things, and one of them you heard up there. He had a godly mother that planted that seed inside of him that Christ was the answer. Even if he didn't want it, Christ was the answer. And the second, he had two relatives here, Stephanie and Tim, who have loved him consistently and unconditionally with God's love through all the ups and downs of his life. They have been there for him, and they have loved him, and they have listened to him, and he knows Christ's love lives in their heart. And so when there's trouble, you go to people that love you. And when they represent Christ's love, God can use that. Now, a lot of times, you know, Bobby's just like the rest of us. You know, sometimes what's obvious in front of us is hard to see, isn't it? And about 2 months ago, and that's this rock right here, about 2 months ago, Bobby was having some struggles. His mom, he knew, was deteriorating, and he didn't know where to go or what to do, and for some reason, he came to church. And he was here at church, and I preached a sermon, like most of the sermons, with, you know, sprinkled in there, the gospel and stuff. And I walked out of the aisle afterwards, and I was shaking hands with people and moving down. And you know how we get kind of loud when we're greeting one another. And as we were leaving and going out, I had passed him and was probably 4 or 5 rows past him. And the roar of people were talking, but all of a sudden, I heard his voice just as clear as if he had a microphone. I don't know if God allowed me to hear that or not, but he was talking with someone and he said this: after hearing that, I don't know if I'm really a Christian. And so I turned around and I thought about trying to talk with him, but I realized that, you know, there was a lot of people around and it just was not a really great time to do it. And so I just prayed and I asked God to give me the ability to have a conversation with Bobby. A week later on Wednesday night, he came. It's interesting. I talked with him upstairs. I asked him why he came. He said he didn't know. There was just something inside of him that was saying, you need to go. He didn't want to go. Isn't that interesting? He didn't go to the group afterwards. He came. I don't even know if he eats. Sometimes he comes and eats. Sometimes he comes and doesn't eat. But he came and he was here. And everybody scattered and went off to their places for Bible studies and stuff like that. But he didn't go because he didn't want to go. I asked him, why did you come? He said, I don't know. Something inside just said you need to go. And so he came. Well, we got done. I got done early. I'm not sure what Jonathan was doing, but for whatever reason, I got done and came down real early. And I was sitting in my office, and he was still milling around, and he walked by and saw me in the office, and he stepped in, and my prayer was answered. And we talked, and at first I just asked him how things were going, and he told me everything about his mother's health going down and that she was going to pass away soon, and that, you know, his life had been for a long time revolving around being a caregiver, which if any of you have done that, you know, when you're loving somebody and you're serving somebody like that, your love for them grows. And so all of a sudden now, when that's taken out of his life, it's like, where do I go? What do I do? What do I have to live for? I don't know what to do. And he's experiencing that, which many of you in this room have experienced that same thing. And so all of those things are going around, and we talked about that. And I told him, I said, well, Bobby, I also wanted to talk with you. You know, I asked him what he was going to do. And I said, I also wanted to talk to you because I heard you say this when I left the service. And so we talked about that for a while, and he said, well, I'm not exactly sure if I've prayed the prayer, but I've never really wanted to live for God, and there have been some things in my life that I didn't want to do, and so I've always kind of pushed God off and kept him at a distance from my life. And, you know, I asked him, I said, well, where are you now? Are you ready to change that with everything that's happened or whatever? And, you know, he wasn't ready. And so I didn't push him because you can't, you know, getting someone to pray a prayer or have a conversion experience means nothing. It means nothing. Jesus did not come to earth to get people to pray a prayer and make an acknowledgement of the truth that he died for their sins and to have some of the guilt or some of the burden of their life taken away for a few minutes or for a week so that they can go back refreshed into the world. Jesus called us to become disciples, disciplined followers of him. That doesn't mean we're not going to fall. We're all going to fall. The Bible says 7 times, which means the complete number. It never stops where we fall. But God lifts us up. And he transforms us and makes us step by step in a slow progress more and more like Christ until we turn around and say, I don't know what happened to me, but I'm not the same person I was. I want to be who God wants me to be more than I want anything else. I don't know what's happened to my heart. The Holy Spirit has just changed me. He doesn't change people with a prayer or with a momentary conversion. He changes people who follow him. Because you're changed through experience. Your faith grows through experience. And so Bobby knew he had not done that and had things that he was not willing to let go of to do that. And so time went by. But I did notice that he started coming to Wednesday nights. I asked him again, why did you come? I don't know. All I know is this. Because did you want to give your heart to Christ? Is that why you came? No, that's not the reason I came. I came because I just knew that the people here loved me and that I could share with them what was on my heart, and I would not be judged, but I would be loved and cared for. Well, ultimately, that is what Jesus does for us. And he is living in the hearts of some of the people that were in those groups that he went to, that group that he went to. And so he kept coming along. And then, I just want you to catch the pictures of how little things make a difference. If Bobby would not have come here and felt like there were people who cared and would listen to him, he would not have come back and would not have found Christ. But there were people who followed that call, and instead of doing what was easy for them and enjoyable for them, talking with their friends or whatever, they saw him. And they spent a little time and shared a little of God's love intentionally with him. And it made a big difference. And then he was sitting there as things were going really difficult in his life, and sitting at a table alone, and Sean walked by and he saw him sitting alone. And he could have just gone on because he had a lot of things to do. He was teaching a group. He's got lots of things to do. But something inside of him, the Spirit of God, let him know, that guy's sitting there alone. Maybe I need to go talk to him. So he sat down and he talked with him for a few minutes. And he said, how are you doing? And Bobby spilled it out. And he said, you know what? He said, we're going up to group. You need to come up there. You just need to share that. And so Bobby went up and he opened up and he shared things that he had not shared before. If Sean would not have realized that God could use a little thing, and if he was not trying to follow God and he would not have done that, Bobby might not have shared those things in that group. But he did share those things in that group. And as he did, Eric, who was sitting on one side of the room, got up, walked over, sat next to him, put his arm around him, and just listened as he talked. There's lots of times the Spirit pulls on us to do something like that, and we don't do it. But when you're thinking that God can work miracles and he can use me, and I'm looking for what God wants to do around me and in me, you're more susceptible to do what God asks. And let me tell you something, if you don't do it, you don't see a miracle. If you do it, God can amaze you. I talked with Bobby today. I didn't even know that story. Bobby told me about, well, I think Sean had told me when we talked about this, about Eric putting his arm around, but I didn't know the impact it had until I talked with Bobby. And Bobby said, man, I cannot tell you how much that meant to me. And what God was speaking in his heart with just someone who came and put an arm around him. And so he went on and they talked and they prayed for him. And then everybody in that group gave him their phone number and said, when you get depressed, when you get where you're in a struggle, because, I mean, the thing he loves most in life is fixing to be taken away. You need some friendship then. And they gave him those phone. He said, I've been texting back and forth with him. If they would not have done that, could God have spoken deeply in his heart? Then Eric went that extra mile and he said, hey, I want you to come to our Thursday night group. Well, Bobby works Thursday night. So he couldn't come there at first. Most people would say, I work, you know, I get off late, I'm tired or whatever. But because Eric had talked to him, because the group had done those things, he came. And then when he was there, that subject of salvation came up again. And as he was sharing about how he wanted to be with his mother, and he was getting the place where God was just showing him that all the things of this world meant nothing compared to being in God's presence with the love that God had given in his life, which was personified by his mother. And he was at that point. And at that time, we asked him again, what do you want to do? And he said, I'm ready to give my life to Christ. And so I said, well, you just need to pray and tell him that. And he said, well, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to do that. And I said, well, all you need to do is tell God what you've told us. And so we bowed our heads And he prayed the most eloquent prayer I think I've ever heard. When it was over, Tom goes, "Don't ever tell anybody you can't pray." Because that was beautiful. It was so theologically correct. I was expecting something short. But it was coming from his heart. All that God wanted to do, he was expressing. Because God had worked in his life deeply. And it only took 43 years. But in 43 years, God opens up eternity. And I'm not just talking about eternal life when he gets to heaven, but a different life right here on earth where he walks with God. And where God can use him to do what others did for him. I look around this room and I see all kinds of things like that. All kinds of people who had great loss. And they turned to God and found comfort in God. And someone else had that same loss and they asked, you know, "Hey, come with me to a place where God's love is. Let me share Christ with you how I'm able." And if I don't have the gift to do it clearly with words, there's people in our body that do. And we've got people we've baptized this year in this room because someone did that. And that's how God works. And that's how God wants to work. Jesus answered and said, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Part of worship is serving God. As a matter of fact, you're not a true worshiper if you don't serve God. And we ask, what does that mean? Well, it's really pretty simple. What's your agenda? I mean, we pray the prayer. We pray and we say, "Our Father who art in heaven, honored or hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven." But do we really mean, "God, I want your kingdom to come. I want your will to be done on earth, starting with me and in other people"? That's your agenda. That's my agenda. I want people to know you. I want people to find you. I want people to grow in you. I want people to experience your great love. I don't want people to be lost and separated and here on this earth in agony and pain and turmoil, trying to numb that pain by running over all kinds of things, after all kinds of things, and pushing that distraction away from them and trying to find joy, but deep inside having emptiness. And every time they run out of gas and can't keep running, it overwhelms them. That's not what God wants for us. He wants us to have peace and joy and love, and he wants us to share that great gift. And if that is not on our minds, if we don't realize what Jesus called us for, and that's not part of our agenda, we're not serving God. If we look at our agenda, it tells us who we're serving. And if we're not serving God, we're not experiencing the benefits of walking closely with him. And we don't see his power and we don't see his greatness. And our faith is not growing and our joy is not exploding. And our peace and ability to be able to see difficult situations from a godly perspective is not there. We want that for ourselves and we want that for others. And it is what God wants for us. As we serve him, we grow. "For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light to the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." Let me tell you, anytime you hear the good news about Jesus Christ, and this is not included, you are not hearing the message. You are not hearing the message. Jesus called people to follow him. Not to pray a prayer and go back to all the things that they're involved in. He says there's something greater worth much more in this world than any amount of money you can make or any house you can buy or any vacation you can take. There is nothing that compares with the joy of seeing the miracle of God transform a life. That's what I'm about. It's what I want you to be about with me. I want you to experience my power, my glory. I want you to see how great I am. And because of that, I've given you a special gift. I'm not going to come in and overwhelm people. I'm going to use you. And you may look and say, well, what can I do? I can't do but some little thing. Let me tell you something. Those little things are important. God's work doesn't happen without them. And if we don't see ourselves as the tool God is using to open a heart, to break up hard hearts so that they can hear and receive and actually understand God might could love me because I don't know why, but it seems like this person does. And it's because they're a Christian. That's a part of the light. It's an important part that the words mean nothing without that. And he has given that to us. Jesus says, I will build my church. This is his agenda. And it's not this building and it's not a ministry. It's the people. And it doesn't matter if they're in this building or outside of this building. He's building the body of Christ. He's building the family of God. He's saving souls. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. An important part of it. Each one of us has a task that God has given us. And as we serve him and as we follow him, God can do far more than we could ever hope to dream or imagine or ask for. 1 Corinthians 3:6-9. Paul says, I planted seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. Tim and Stephanie have been working with Bobby and loving him for years and years and years. Sean loved him, Eric loved him, Tom loved him, Les loved him, Tim loved him. Lots of people in this room loved him. All of that is important. Every piece of that is important. We don't know which piece is the one that's going to be the one that God breaks through and cracks open and splits that log that opens his heart up to see. Some of us plant, some of us water, but God makes it grow. The one who plants and the ones who water have one purpose. They're worshiping God, which means his agenda is first. So I'm not here to find out what I need. I'm really looking to see what could God do. If I'm looking to see what God could do, I may see something he wants me to do, and doing something little, I might see how powerful God is. And they will each be rewarded according to their labor, for we are co-workers with God. That's what we're called to be. We're co-workers with God. And there are some people who understand exactly what that reward is. That is why they passionately pursue serving God, because the reward is so great. And there are other people who can't even understand, what reward are you talking about? It couldn't possibly be as great as the things that I could do with my time. And they don't think about what God is doing, and they rob themselves of what Christ died to give us. Everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him. And he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. This is not talk to the pastors or to the evangelism director or to a few Christians who are really gifted with speaking. Every one of us is important to conveying the true gospel of Christ. And I'll tell you, in our culture where truth is questioned, it's essential. Because people don't come in right now thinking that if it's written in the Bible, it's true. And even though we do these things out here, they're wrong. They don't come in thinking that anymore. They come in questioning whether God really knows what life's like in the 21st century. And if what he says is really relevant to us, because we know better and we know some of the things that he's asking us to do, that they come in with an attitude that says, God doesn't know what he's talking about. So sharing the gospel cannot be done with words anymore. It has to start first with actions, and then words can be spoken when they have ears to hear. That's why the ministry is given to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. That's what we do. That's what the church is about. And sometimes we need to stop and we need to ask ourselves, is that what I'm about? Is that what I'm about? In the back of my mind, do I always have that Christ came and he died for these people who are around me? And I don't really know what to do, and it's spiritual, and it's above my head, and I don't know what to say, and I can't change anybody's heart. I can't do anything, but this is what God wants, so if there's anything I can do, even if it's just put my arm around somebody. Lord, what can I do? That's a servant of God. That's a true worshiper. That's somebody who sees what God wants and they're trying to do it. And let me tell you something, God rewards that. God works in that. And God will develop that heart and give that heart faith. God, who made him to be sin for us, so that in him we might be the righteousness of God. That's what Christ came for. He died on the cross so that we might be able to live in a way that's right in God's eyes. We can live for him. We can follow the Spirit. Doesn't mean we turn into perfect people. God uses earthen vessels. That's what we are. We're weak. We don't understand what God is doing. But we have a desire to follow him. So every time we fall, he picks us up. We're not held to blame. We're held blameless before him. Because that blood of Christ washes us clean. And God sees who we are in Christ. Not who we are as we make mistakes. And we're free to be made new creations. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, verse 17 says, he is now a new creation. The old is gone and the new hopefully is here. Hopefully we look at ourselves and we see ourselves as new creations. We're different and being made different. God's agenda, not ours. That's the question Jesus asks. His preaching is about the kingdom of God. Who is in charge? Whose agenda is there? And it's really the question we ask ourselves. If we follow God, we see him. Well, let's take a minute and let's just pray. Father, you are greater than we could ever imagine. There is no king, no president, no dictator, no power, no authority on earth that is even a fraction of what it is when you simply flick your finger. The most powerful person in our world only takes his next breath because you allow it. There is no one like you. There is no one who can stand before you. You are God who could do anything that you want, and you do anything that you want. And yet, even though you are so much greater than us, you love us. You want us to be in a relationship with you enough that you would send your son to this earth to die for us, to forgive us of our sins, that we might be reconciled to you. We can't even fathom that love. We don't deserve that love. But we want it. Deep in our hearts, we want to be loved like only you can love us. Deep in our hearts, we want to be secure like only your hands can make us. And deep in our hearts, we want to have a life that has meaning. And everything under this sun is meaningless. Everything we achieve will be forgotten. Everything that we amass will go to someone else. Whatever we build can be torn down and wasted by those behind us, and our names will not even be remembered. Nothing on this earth is of value. And yet you open up life to us where we can be a part of the redemption of souls. We can be a part of saving the world and bringing your love into this world, of watching miracles and seeing lives transformed. you are so wonderful. All our hearts really desire, you give us. And you put the exclamation point on it, that your promise is real and irrevocable through the sacrifice that Christ made on that cross. We see your heart, and we know you love us. And we give ourselves to you. Lord, forgive us for being so distracted by this world that our hearts are not 100% focused on you and what you want us to do in this world. Lord, we want to enjoy all the gifts you give us, but we don't want those gifts to become a distraction so that we lose what's important in life, your presence. So we ask for your forgiveness and we give our lives to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.